Today's daf is Mem Aleph. We're going to start on Mem Amabet from about 10 lines, 9 lines. V'ha'amar Rabbi Zeira. Umi Amrinan. Umi Amrinan ta'asem in v'lomin ha'asoy. If you remember, we said that if you have a beged that's only 3 etzba'od and then you put in... It's ba'alat shalosh kanafot. You put in tzitzit and then you add a fourth corner. It's pasul because all the tzitzit weren't put in l'shem mitzvah because it was missing a corner. It wasn't even a four corner beged, and therefore when you went to put, you know, all your tzitzit that you put in weren't for the mitzvah, and it has to be ta'asev alomana. So you have to make it for the purpose of tzitzit. So now they're going to say, is that really true? V'ha'amar Rabbi Zeira, I'm just going to preface this by saying I'm going to explain this in one way. There's many ways of understanding this, and maybe I'll just raise a bit of the problem in Rashi's explanation, but we're going to go with Rashi. But you should just know there's a whole bunch of different explanations here of how to read this, and different girsaot also. This is one of those times when also, if you don't have punctuation, you can't tell, are we saying things as a rhetorical question? Is it a statement? Is it... So that leads to different explanations, but we'll just go with one way of reading it. V'ha'amar Rabbi Zeira, hitil l'mutelet k'shera. Rabbi Zeira says that if you put a string, you attach strings to a beged that already has four, let's say you have the four strings of the tzitzit in it, you add another four strings, then you cut the first four strings, and now you end up with the other four strings that you put in. So wouldn't you say that's also not fulfilling ta'asev elomana asoy, because when you put those tzitzit in, the second pair, there was no purpose for it, right? It wasn't for the shame tzitzit, because you already had tzitzit in the beged. So then when you cut the first set, and you end up with your second set, that's could be viewed as, that was not ta'aseh min ha'asoy, it was min ha'asoy, because it was already there. And it wasn't done with a ma'aseh mitzvah of doing it. So we're going to see two explanations as to understanding why Rabbi Zeira says this, and we can still say ta'aseh v'lo menasui. So the first is Rava. I'm a Rava. Hashta be'bal tosif kai ma'aseh lo have. And this is where I think Rashi's explanation has a bit of a weakness, but this is how he explains it. What you have here is when you added those extra strings, you're over on the mitzvah bal tosif. What is baltos? If you're not allowed to add to a mitzvah, like you can't have 5 batim of the tefillin, you can't have more than 4 strings in the tzitzit. So when you've added, now it's first of all, a bit of an issue, how can you have baltos? It doesn't say in the Torah it has to be 4, right? It's only a drasha from the Torah, but maybe you could say. In any case, what he says is like this: since you added the tzitziot, the extra ones, you were over on baltos at that point, so there was no actual, and this is how you read it. He says, "Hashta b'bal tosif kai ma'ase lo havi." As this is a statement now, some people say, "Ma'ase lo havi." Is it not a ma'ase? But let's go with the other explanation, which means there was no real ma'ase of putting in the tzitzit at that point because you were over on bal tosif and you weren't allowed to do it. So therefore, it's not viewed as if you did a ma'ase of putting the tzitzit in. And here's the weakness in Rashi, I think. According to Rashi, when you cut the first pair, you're ki'ilu making the second set of tzitzit. There's your ma'aseh. Well, Rashi, in order to understand Rashi, you have to basically say, since you were doing bal tosif, there's no actual ma'aseh. So when you wound those second set of tzitzit, you didn't actually do a ma'aseh. In order to say that it's asoy, there has to be a ma'aseh. So therefore, when you cut the first set, that's the ma'aseh that makes the second set of strings valid. At that point, they're a valid pair of tzitzit. So that, you created them by cutting. Now, what's the weakness? The weakness is, you would think that the ma'aseh of creating the tzitzit is winding them. So you don't have that. By cutting the first set and making the second set valid, that's a kind of weird ma'aseh, because you didn't actually wind it. You just made it, your ma'aseh. Normally, what do you think your ma'aseh of tzitzit is? The winding, the tying the knots. According to this, cutting the first set is the ma'aseh that creates the second set, and that's okay, basically. That's a bit of a weakness in Rashi, I think, but that's Rashi's explanation. So again, we started with, How can you say there's taseva lo manasoi? Rabbi Zera says, if you put a second set of tzitzit into a first pair of tzitzit, right, into a regular good pair of tzitzit, it's kasher. And all right, you're missing a maaseh here. So Rabbi says, no, since you're over on Baal Tosif, there's no real maaseh in putting those tzitzit in. Therefore, when you cut it, there's the maaseh. Matkifla Rav Papa. Rav Papa says to Rava, what are you talking about? Mimai de gavri lo sufu kamachavin. Just because he teal a mutelik sheira, just because he added a second set of tzitzit, doesn't mean that he meant to add, which means he was over on Baal Tosif. And his whole logic of Rava was, you're over on Baal Tosif, since you're over on Baal Tosif, there's no maaseh, right? Since it's Baal Tosif, Rava says, Baal Tosif ain maaseh. So he says, who's to say there's Baal Tosif?
For everything with Baal Tosif.
Right, so first of all, you can question that whole thing of just because there's a Baal Tosif doesn't mean there's no Maaseh. That's also a bit of a question on Rashi. But let's just stick with Rashi's explanation. And then Rav Papa says, how do you know that he was lo sufi kamachavin? Dilma, livi tule kamachavin, ubal tosif leika, maaseika. So he says, maybe he wasn't trying Bosif. He was trying to cancel out the first set. He was saying, I don't like that first set of strings, so I'm putting in a second set of strings. And since there's no Baal Tosif, there is in fact a Maaseh. So now, how does he explain what Rabbi Zeira says? He tila mutelik shera. So now you have to say that there's a difference between tzitzit that are psulim, like a three-corner beged, which isn't even chayav in tzitzit, and tzitzit that are ksherim, and that you're adding to it. Okay? Here, right, you're doing something extra. So according to Rav Papa, Hametila Mutela Kshera is because you're putting something extra in there. That's considered a maaseh. It's not, and therefore it's not a problem of taaseh v'lo manasui. In other words, it is taaseh. Because you've added it to a kosher tzitzit. That's okay. Even if it's unnecessary, you've still done the mitzvah of adding it to tzitzit. When you only have a three-corner beged, and then you put your tzitzit in, and then you add a fourth corner, that's going to be a problem, because that's a pasul tzitzit, or a chaser. Okay, it's like chaser or yoter, right? Adding. Adding is different. That's the way Rav Papa is going to read Rabbi Zeira.
Okay? He almost had no choice, because let's say he's repairing this garment.
You can cut the tzitzit first.
No, but then it would have been chaser. So he's...
No, if you cut the strings, then the beged isn't chaser. The chaser means if you only have a three-cornered beged, or two-cornered beged, and then you add two more corners. So if you put on the strings before you added the other corners, it wasn't even chayav and tzitzit. In this case, you have a four-cornered beged, you cut the strings off, and then you add new strings.
So the mistake was in not cutting first. That was the only mistake. Here.
Well, again, it's totally fine. Rabbi Zeira says this is fine. The whole question is why it's fine, and it's not an issue of taseva lo manasoi. So according to Rava, it's not an issue because you actually did no maaseh because you were over on Baal Tosif. According to Rav Papa, there's no problem because since the beged was already chayav and tzitzit, even though it had tzitzit, you're just adding to it, that's okay. So two different viewpoints up. So that's, in the end, we still say there's an issue of taseva lo manasoi. In general, right, there's a concept that your tzitzit, right, this isn't irrelevant to that. There's a concept that you have to make your tzitzit, you have to make them milachatchila, from the beginning. Okay. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav Matna, Amar Shmuel. Tchelet ein ba mishum kilayim, v'afilu b'talit p'tura. If you have a beged of tchelet, there's no issue of kilayim. Okay. This is based on, remember we saw it, that there's no issue of kilayim, even though the rabbis then said don't do it, but there's no issue of kilayim by tzitzit, and even in a talit p'tura, okay, this can be strange, right? In other words, in a talit p'tura, you would think this means you're not chayav in tzitzit. Well, if you're not chayav in tzitzit, how could you possibly have kilayim? You can only have kilayim if it's tzitzit, right? Kilayim being shanes. So, my talit p'tura, what does it mean a talit p'tura here? If you want to say it doesn't have a shear, it's not chayav and tzitzit, and that it's a beged that's not big enough. The hatanya doesn't attain a brayta. Talit shakatan mitkasebo roshov rubo. If you have a talit that a child can be covered in it, most of his body. V'hagadol yotzeba derech harai. And Rashi says she'ino bosh latzeba lashuk, meaning if it's a beged that it's basically a kid's baguette, but if you needed it, a grown-up would wear it and wouldn't be totally embarrassed to wear it in public.
It's a great study.
Okay? Right. It's a very interesting. I was actually thinking this happened to me once where I was with my kids and one of my older kids and something happened to their shirt. I don't know. And I had a little shirt for one of my younger kids and they managed to wear that shirt. You know, like it was manageable. You could do it. Okay? So if that's the size of the baguette, then it's chayevet betzitzit. Okay? That's the criteria. Could you wear it in public and not be embarrassed by it? Again, yotzei baderech harai, meaning you would do it only once in a while. You wouldn't do it if you didn't have to, like that example I gave. Ein hakatan mitkaseh b'rosho b'rubo. If it doesn't cover even the rosho b'rubo of a katan, af al pish hagadol yotzei b'arai p'tura. Okay, here, now it's a little strange because what's a katan? A katan could be a little child, a medium sized child, right? But anyway, they're saying if it wouldn't cover a katan, I don't know exactly how you would measure this based on what katan, if it wouldn't cover the rosh, the head, and the majority of a katan, even though an older person might do it once in a while, it's p'tura, b'chein le'inyan kilayim, and likewise for kilayim. So now, remember, we're trying to take this bright to explain to us what is a talit p'tura that you're allowed to have kilayim. So now they say, what does this mean, b'chein le'inyan kilayim? So they asked a question on this brayta. What does that mean? That the same holds true for criteria, and it's the exact same criteria hold, not just for what kind of baguette is chayav and tzitzit, but the same criteria would hold for shatnez. A baguette that a katan can't even cover, rosho and rubo, even if gadol might wear it once in a blue moon, is not a problem of shatnez. Maybe that's what the bright is telling us, but it can't possibly be telling us that because ha'anantnan ein arai b'kilayim. There's already a Mishnah which says explicitly, anything that you would wear arai is not a problem for kilayim. If you're going to just throw something over you once in a, for you know, because you're stuck or something on a one-off, there's no ish and has semrim pishim b'yachad, wool and linen, there's no problem. So therefore, it can't be that this brayta is telling us this because it's an explicit Mishnah. Right? That's a good question, whether you would assume just because a brayta says something that's explicitly in the Mishnah, there'd be no point for the brayta to say it if it already says it somewhere else. Anyway, that's the Gemara's assumption.
So super fancy clothing that you wear just once in a while.
No, that's not arai. If you're going to go to a party wearing it, that's not what we would call arai. Because if you have it designated for a special event, that's designated for a special event, that's not arai. Arai means, I think, anyway, it seems to me like you got, like that example I gave, where my daughter was stuck, she had nothing to wear, she threw this on, you know, okay? You need to just cover yourself in something.
Yeah, it's so difficult to understand, though, because shatnez is not like kashrut. Like, you can't have a one-off, you're hungry, I have a cheeseburger.
Well, because the point is lo tilbash. What does tilbash mean? Tilbash means wearing. What is wearing? It's like teshvu basukah, same thing. Teshvu, if you want to sit in your house, you're not allowed to. You can sit down in your house if you want on Sukkot. You know, you can have a snack in your house if you want. It's only keva. Again, it depends what kind of snack, and we're more machmir. But according to the sources, it's achilat keva. Only teshvu is serious yeshiva, just like tilbash is serious levisha. Same thing. Okay. So ilema, so they can't say that that's what it means, that the whole thing, this concept applies also to the whole issue of kilayim. Therefore, Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak v'chein le'inyan sadim b'tzitzit. Okay, what does that mean? That the same criteria apply for a sadin in tzitzit. In other words, you're allowed to, if you have a pishtim baguette, you could put your tchelet wool string in it, only if it's that size that's going to be chayav b'tzitzit. So therefore, it can't be afilu b'talit p'tura. In other words, what does this mean? Tchelet ein ba mishum kilayim v'afilu b'talit p'tura. Here it seems to imply v'chein linyan kilayim, that if it's chayav b'tzitzit, then there's no issue of shanes. If it's not chayav b'tzitzit, then it will be an issue of shanes. So therefore, elamai p'tura, hi tia lamutelet. What does it mean, a talit p'tura? When he says tchelet ein ba mishum kilayim, he means exactly the case we just discussed before. That if you took this tzitzit, let's say you have a pair of tzitzit, that's perfect tzitzit, and you added more, so let's say it's made out of linen, and you added more tchelet strings to it, you added a whole other set of strings, let's say two tchelet and two lavan, right, which is what you're supposed to add. So let's say you add your two tchelet and two lavan, so you now added So now we're going to say talit p'tura tchelat ema mishum kelayim. Afilu b'talit p'tura means even if the talit doesn't need to be adding tzitzit to it, and you added a second set, even if they're wool in a linen beged, that's okay. Even though you don't need them, right? You might say it's unnecessary, the second set of strings. So what do you see here? It's the same thing, really. It comes from the same thing as what Rabbi Zeira said. Because why are we assuming you're adding the second set? Because eventually you're going to cut the first set and leave the second set. And that's why it's okay, even if the talit is perfectly fine and you really don't need extra strings, and therefore you might say it's shatnez to add your wool strings to it, we say it's okay. So now they say, Vahamar Amara Rabbi Zeira Chadazimna. In other words, let me just go back and say how this worked. First we said that Rabbi Zeira said he tila mutelek shera. Then we said that Rabbi Zeira said in the name of Raman and the name of Shmuel, the tchelet ema mishum kelayim v'afilu b'talit p'tura, which would mean that he's basically saying the same thing in both, because he's saying any strings you add to an already existing tzitzit are perfectly fine. We're not worried about any sort of issues. It's not taseh v'lo manasoy. It's not a problem of, you know, that it's already asoy. It's actually a fulfillment of taseh v'lo manasoy. And, right, there's no problem to put wool strings into a linen garment. In other words, basically, both texts seem to be saying the exact same thing. So why would Rabbi Zeira say the same thing twice? So they're not exactly saying the same thing. And the truth is, this could be the answer, which is, Chada michlal de chaver te itmar. Okay, even though the Gemara said, Rabbi Zeira said here and Rabbi Zeira said there, what the Gemara assumes here is that Rabbi Zeira made this statement in one of the cases, and there's a debate about which one, and they inferred the other halacha from that. Okay, that's once you say, okay, so let's go in both directions. Once you say that this is a fulfillment of taseh v'lo manasoy, because we're assuming you're just adding it to cut the first, and therefore it's okay when you cut the first, that's the fulfillment of the second, or depending on how you read it, or because it's baltosif, there's no maseh, whatever, either which way, then you can jump to the next conclusion, which is therefore you can put wool strings in, even if it's a linen beged. And likewise, you could say the reverse. If you're allowed to put the wool strings in, it's because we view that as if that's a maseh making tzitzit, and therefore, if you do it that way, you're fulfilling ta'aseh v'lo manasui. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Talit kfula. Now we're moving to a different issue. Let's say you take a talit, and it's a very long beged, okay? So then, you can, it's, let's just sort of imagine, they use the word talit, let's try to imagine a talit, because it'll make a little more sense. It's sort of like, right, that's a good big four, right, a tzitzit is very small. The talit is a very big four-cornered beged. So you have this talit, kfula, you fold it over. Now, if you fold it over, okay, let's take a piece of paper. You take a piece of paper and you fold it over. This piece of paper here, man. Okay. You take a piece of paper and you fold it over. Now, if you had the piece of paper open, right, which is the beged, you would end up with four strings on the four sides. If you fold it, you now need four strings on the four sides of this new beged, and that's going to end up, if you would open it, those two strings are going to be in the very middle of the beged. Okay? So there's going to be a bit of an issue here, right? How you do this. So what does he say? So we're going to have a machloket. Talit kfula chayevet b'tzitzit. If you fold over this beged, and you now have these four corners here, you have to put new strings. According to Rashi, this means you're going to end up with six strings, because you're going to have the four original ones. And then when you fold it, right, all those four are going to be next to the other two. You don't necessarily take them off, because we're just folding it. In other words, it's very long, so you fold it over. So you end up, right, you have two strings, two sets of two strings, okay, that are right next to each other. And now you're going to put two strings on the other side, okay, two sets of strings on the other side.
But the mitzvah is to have tzitzit on a four-cornered garment. Whether it's folded or not, you still have tzitzit on the four-cornered garment.
I guess so, but now the real way they look at this, are you creating a new four-corner garment by doing this?
Are they talking about saying you wear folded all the time, or just...
So that's going to be the debate a little bit, okay? So right now we're saying if you wear this talit folded, then you're chayev b'tzitzit. Rabbi Shimon poter. Rabbi Shimon says no. You don't need tzitzit there. And not only that, but we don't want... Okay, it's a weird lashon of poter the way they explain it, because they say we don't want you to have tzitzit there. Because if you open this beged, you're going to end up with tzitzit in the middle, and tzitzit don't belong in the middle of a beged, V'shavin, however, they agree, she'im kafla v'tafra, if you folded it and sewed it up, she'chayevet. Then, once you've sewed it, then the assumption is you're not going to open it because it's sewn, and therefore, once you sew it, we're going to now say you're chayav on the new four corners, right?
Do you have to take off the extra?
So that's a good question. Do you take off the extra? It's not so clear here.
I can also see it more going the other way. I'm just thinking of a young boy, right? You fold it, you don't have a lot of money, and then as it gets older,
you unfold it.
You unfold it.
And therefore, what would you say? That
where do you put the tzitzit? Because they're in the middle.
It had to be complete.
What?
That it had to be complete, right,
from the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, it was complete from the beginning, but then when you fold it over, you have to add.
No, but what Bonnie's saying is here it is, it's like this.
Yeah.
You put your four tzitzit
right.
On, now he's getting older, now unfold it.
So then you unfold it, and then you'll move, right, then you'll put the tzitzit on the other side.
No, but then you take these from
here. Right.
And move them.
You have to take them and move them, it seems like. That's what I would assume. So now they're going to say, what do you mean? Tafra, pshita, obviously, if you sew the baguette up, and you fold it over, and so, of course you would be. That's no chachma. Obviously, you now have a new four-corner baguette. You're going to have to sew it. So now they say lo tzricha dinakta basiche. Okay, there's at least three different interpretations I saw. But the basic point is it's either sewn loosely. It's just you put some pegs, some pins in. What it means is even if you didn't actually sew it well, but you just sort of put it together in some way that it's now almost like Ani, like you're saying, right? When you do a hem for a kid, sometimes you do it very loosely because you know you're going to take it out in a few months when the kid grows. So if it's very loose and you're planning to eventually take it out, even then they both agree that you're chayav because at that point you're wearing it as this new four-corner baguette. Rabba bar Rav Huna, ikle the bay Rabba bar Rav Nachman. So Rabba Rav Huna comes to the house of Rabba bar Rav Nachman. Chazi dehave mikase talit kfula. He sees he's wearing this talit kfula. V'ram elechute ilave kfela. So now he says, he goes to his house, he sees he's wearing this, he had this very long baguette, he folded it over without sewing it, and he put chutim in the middle, right, on the fold. Ifshita, the baguette opened up, okay, and he ended up, okay, the way I imagine this, okay, we're going to see, va'ata chute kam lahade reshe, and the chutim in the middle ended up by his head. This is why I imagine like a talit. If you have a talit, what happens, which is the part that's on your head? The center. Right, so he ends up right at the center that's by his head, let's assume maybe on his neck, right, or it was over his head. There's strings hanging down. Now, that's a little odd. You never saw anybody with a talit, right, with these strings hanging down right by his head. That doesn't make any sense. So Amar Leh, Lav Hainu Kanaf Dekatav Rahmana Bo, sorry, it says, Lav Hainu Kanaf Dekatav Rahmana Bo Raita. That is not the Kanaf, the corner that the Torah was talking about. Okay, in other words, you're doing this all wrong. Now, interestingly, the point is he holds like Rabbi Shimon, obviously, who says that this when you have a talit kfula, it's patur, because chamim say you're chayav. So there's a bit of a question asked, why didn't he comment on him when he had the talit kfula and it was on him the right way, right? Why didn't he comment then? Why did he only comment once it opened up and it looked problematic? But okay, we'll leave that question aside. So what did Rabba bar Rav Nachman do? Rabba bar Rav Nachman. Shad ye ikase glima achrite. So he takes it off and he puts on a different four-corner baguette that was okay, right? Had no problem. Amar lei. So Rabba bar Rav Huna says to him, misfarat chovat gavruhu. What, you think that tzitzit, and now we get to our issue, which we're going to see more tomorrow, do you think that tzitzit is a chovan, the person? And what do you do? You said, oh, this bag is a problem. I'll put that baguette aside. I'll put on a new four-corner baguette. So he says, chovat talitu, zil ramele. So he says, it's a chovan, the talit, and basically what you did right now is, what does it mean it's a chovan, the talit? It's a chovat for any baguette you have that's four corners to have tzitzit on them properly. So he's saying, the fact that you took it off and stuck it in your drawer doesn't help anything. You're doing this mitzvah wrong with that four-cornered.
It has to be right whether you're wearing it.
It has to be right whether you're wearing it or not. And therefore, go put tzitzit in it. Now, the assumption here, by the way, you'd have to say like this. Zil ramele means go put tzitzit in them. Now, according to what we said before, If you were holding like chachamim, how would you have it? You would have it where you had four when it was open, then you closed it, and then you added two more. You know, you folded it, then you added two more, and you'd have six. In this case, he obviously didn't have six, because he really only had four. When he folded the baguette and put the four by the fold, and then when it opened, he didn't have tzitzit on the other side. Okay? And that's why he said, take it off. But he said, taking it off, and then he thought, I just have to take it off and go wear one that's proper. And he said to him, no, it's a chovan the talit. Okay, now there's a whole machloket about whether it's chovan the talit or not, but it seems that everybody agrees it's not a chova for a person to wear a four-corner baguette. The chova is, the debate is it a chova for you to have on any four-corner baguette that you own? You have to have tzitzit on, just in case you might end up putting them on. Or is it only anything that you actually wear? And therefore, having something in your drawer without proper tzitzit is not an issue. So he obviously holds that it has to be any garment that you own needs to have, that has four corners, needs to have tzitzit on it. And that's what he's saying. He said, you haven't resolved your issue by taking it off and putting on a better one. Your issue is having it on any baguette.
Aren't they also proving that it has to be on four corners? Because the original big talit had four. It just, they weren't on each. You have to have one on each corner.
Right, on each corner. That's what he's saying. Right, it has to be four on each corner. And he's saying, this wasn't on the corners. This was on the fold, in the middle, which is a problem. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, okay. Lema misayele. Why don't we say that this source proves his point. Chasidim arishonim kevan she'argu ba'shalosh hayu metilim batchelet. Once they had a baguette that was already three etzvot long, remember we saw a few different explanations of this, but right now we're assuming it reads like this. Once they already had three etzvot worth of a baguette, they would already put the tchelet in. So what do you see? That even though they weren't necessarily wearing it yet, because a baguette that's three etzvot long is quite small, certainly you can't wear it, even though they weren't wearing it yet, they already put the tzitzit on. They put the strings on because they viewed it as a chovah on the baguette, and not as a chovah only when you're wearing it. So what are they answering? No, that's not a proof, because shani chasidim demachmirei anafshayunas. Chasidim are always machmir on themselves. That's a chumrah. That's not a halacha. You can't learn halacha from it. Here we get to the interesting part of today's daf. Upliga demalacha. And in fact, there's a machloka between him and an angel about this. Okay? So, as he said, it's a chovat talit, meaning any baguette you own has four corners, has to have tzitzit. That's a machloket he has with an angel. De malacha eshkache l'Rav Katina. A malach appeared to Rav Katina. De mekase sadina. He had a sadina, right, a cloak. Amarle katina katina. Okay, now remember, what's the issue with a sadin? A sadin is made of linen. Remember? And what did we say? You're not supposed to put tzitzit in there because even though you're allowed to, Mishum Shatnez, we don't want you, right? Well, you might end up with some issue and there might not be a kosher tzitzit and then you'll end up with Shatnez. So what did he say to him? So he was wearing a sadin. Now, because he was wearing a sadin, it was patur from tzitzit. So he had this four-cornered linen baguette, which is now patur from tzitzit because we don't want you to put the tchelet in. So Amarle, katina, katina, sadina bakaita v'sarbala v'sitva? Are you going to wear a sadin in the summer and a sarbala in the winter? A sarbala is like a cloak which doesn't have four corners on it, which means it's not chayav in tzitzit. Tzitzit tol tchelet, ma tehele. If you're going to wear, right, you're going to basically, according to what you're doing, if you wear this linen in the summer and then you wear this garment in the winter which doesn't have four corners, you're going to end up never fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzit. Now this goes back to, right, if it's a chovat habeged, then you're not chayav in tzitzit. So according to Rabbi Bar of Nachma, Rabbi Puna, it's all a chovah on the baguette. So he comes and says, what do you mean? Right? According to the Malach, it sounds like it's a chovah on the gavra, because he's saying to him, how could you be avoiding the mitzvah of tzitzit like this? So Amar Leis, he says back to him, Anshito Aase, what in the heavens do they punish people for not doing mitzvot aseh? No, it's a mitzvot aseh, a weird tzitzit. But if I don't do mitzvot aseh, you're going to punish me for it? Here's a really interesting line. Amar le, bizman di ikaritcha anshina. Generally, God doesn't punish people for not fulfilling a mitzvot aseh, except for like the two famous ones that there's karei for, right? That's Brit Milah and Pesach. Otherwise, you don't really get an onesh for not doing an aseh. But when God is angry, then God will punish people for not fulfilling mitzvot asi. So, what do we do with this story? Then, right, if you say it's chovan the gavra, that's why he's mechayev for not fulfilling this mitzvah ase. Ela iamar chovat talit, who halo mechayeva, he's not mechayev to wear tzitzit. So what are you even talking about? Ela mai chovat gavra who? What you're assuming it's chovat gavra? Nihi dechive rachmana ki mechase talit debat chiyuva ki mechase talit elab bat chiyuva hi mechayeve rachmana. You can't possibly say it's chovat gavra. How can you even say that? In other words, the Torah said, right, if you're wearing a talit that's a four-corner garment, then you're chayav and tzitzit. But ki makasei talit, if you're wearing a talit that's not bat chiyuvahi, mi chayav ha-rachmana, the Torah never obligated you to wear tzitzit. And therefore, it can't be that that's the case. So therefore, they have to understand the angel in some other way. Ela hachi ka'amrale. What he said to him is, titzdake lemiftar nafshe mitzitzit. What he's saying is that you're sort of surreptitiously avoiding the mitzvah of tzitzit. It's like the famous that they say about, I won't say who they say it about because I actually read that it wasn't true that it was said in his about him, but maybe it was somebody else, that they would go, there's different people this was said about, it's a bit of a legend, that on Purim, they would avoid Purim. They would make sure to be in a place, right, where you're high of regular Purim on Shushan Purim, and on Shushan Purim they'd be where you're chayav, they'd be in the place where you're not chayav, right? And they would avoid Purim to basically avoid Purim. That's what he's basically saying to him. In other words, it's true there's nothing really wrong with it, but it's just not in the spirit, right? It's not.
That's the holiday they're skipping.
Right. 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 No, it wasn't because of the reason they say it is because they felt that the holy lut and the chagigot were not appropriate to religion. Okay. Anyway, this past Purim, I saw a post about the grandchild of someone had said about who said it's just not true. Okay. Amar, so it's a very interesting story. First of all, that we're quoting halacha from Malachim, and that we're trying to say, you know, right? And then in the end, right, what we say is very interesting about this issue of trying to avoid mitzvot, that you can get around the letter. And I think what it's really coming to say is, it's true, while all these sugyot are proving it's chovat the beged and not the chovat of the gavra, but it's you still shouldn't try to avoid not wearing tzitzit. Okay, Amar of Tuvi Bar Kisna Amar Shmuel. Klei kufsa chayevim b'tzitzit. Okay, what's a klei kufsa? This means clothes that are folded up in your closet. Okay, they're chayevim b'tzitzit. That's what we said. If it's chovat talit, then you would hold that. You have to have it on all your begadim. Umo de Shmuel b'zaken sha'asa'a lechvodo sheptura. But Shmuel's mode that if they made it for an old person, for his tachrichim, to bury him, then it's patur. My taima asher techaseba, because it's meant, right, only for clothing that you're going to wear as clothing, not clothing that you're going to be clothed in on the day of your death.
And
ureitem, yafeh. But now we get a really interesting disagreement about this. Asher techaseba amar rachmana, the Torah says, hai lav li'chasui avida, right, and this wasn't meant for covering. But now they say, what do you mean? Vahi shata vadai raminale. Of course, before I even read this, I just want everyone to know this halacha, that when you go into a beit kvarot, you don't wear tzitzit. And this is because we don't want you to be lo'eg la'rash. You're kind of mocking the people who are dead that they can't wear tzitzit.
Do you actively take them off? Or you?
I think you're supposed to actually take them off before you go into a beit kvarot. I don't know. I don't do this, I'm assuming that that's what one does. And it's because it's mocking or you hide them. You might just tuck them in so that they don't, you know, they don't see them. I mean, they don't see them anyway, but it's not noticeable that you're not in their face. It makes more sense that they tuck them in. Anyway, there's an issue of lo'eg larash. Here, it's in a very different way, though. They bring up lo'eg larash. Bahi shata v'dai rabin alei. Of course you put them on. Mishum lo'eg larash cheref oseu. They say it's mocking the dead person, like, oh, now you can't wear tzitzit because you're dead. So therefore, dafka tachrichim, they say you could put tzitzit in them because it would be lo'eg larash in the other direction. It's saying, what, you can't wear, like all of a sudden, oh, now we're not going to let you wear tzitzit. Dafka, we're going to let them have tzitzit in their bag. Okay. I don't know practically if we do this or not.
But they bury men because they're chalit, don't they?
Right, I think they do. So I assume they do bury them with tzitzit and that this is lamasa, but I'm not sure. No, they, yeah, I don't know enough about it.
Or whether they get for a woman. If it's on the beged and not Well, that raises the whole question.
Tachrichim for a woman. You're talking about tachrichim, or you're talking about in general a woman?
How do we know it all?
Is it why women aren't chayavot? What? What do you say?
Any bagot that's four corners, if it's chayav on the bagot and not on the person wearing it,
then it should be also for a woman.
Yeah,
why shouldn't a woman be doing
that? But why?
Right.
Where do we get from this that women aren't chayav?
So that comes up in the other sugya about women not being chayavot in certain mitzvot, but I'm not sure it actually comes up in the Gemara about tzitzit. Comes up later, and there are sources that women did wear tzitzit. There's women.
But that's not
right. Well, tzitzit is man graman because it's daytime. But right, it's not exactly a chovat gavra, so it's tricky. There's different. I remember in researching all the stuff about mitzvot aseh shazman graman, and the things that women did take upon themselves, or the things that people say it's actually okay if women do. Tzitzit is listed by a bunch of people as if women did do it, it's actually okay, even though it's not nahug that women wear tzitzit. But there are sources that talk about it that seem to be not such an issue. In other words, the whole thing there is women are exempt. The question is, can women do them anyway? And I remember that tzitzit was mentioned dafka as, you know, in I think the Rambam and the Torah possibly. If I remember correctly, that if a woman does wear it, it's okay. But I don't know enough about if we view this as a beged, why shouldn't it be a beged that's not a woman? Yeah.
But wouldn't there be a problem of a woman wearing men's clothing or what seems to be like men's clothing?
I don't think so much, because any four corner beged doesn't necessarily mean it's a man's beged. Depends what a four corner beged is.
Yes, right? A scarf.
You know, obviously they wore more four corner begedim than we do nowadays.
It has to be a fixed, because I can imagine, you know, like, just have clip one CT on, put them all over your
CT. Remove them. So we're going to talk a little bit about it soon. Okay, a little bit. Okay, so let's move on, because it's getting late. Amar Rechava, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Talit shenikra'a chutz l'shalosh, if it was torn more than three etzba'ot into the tzitzit, you know, off the corner, yitfor, you can sew it. But toch shalosh, right, generally, you put the tzitzit within three etzba'ot of the end, although we're going to see today there's a machloket about it. Toch shalosh lo yitfor. Okay, within shalosh lo yitfor, because what are we worried? That you're going to leave the string hanging, and then it'll be a problem. You won't be fulfilling ta'asev lo mana asoy, because you'll have sewn it, left the string, and then the string will be there from there. Tanya namihachi, another source to support this. Talit shenikra'a chutz l'shalosh yitfor, toch shalosh Rabbi Meir omer lo yitfor, v'chachamim omrim yitfor. So within shalosh, there's actually a machloket, and obviously Rabbi Yehuda goes like Rabbi Meir. Okay, bishavim, but they agree shalo yavi afilu ama alama mimakom acher ubat chelet betoleba. This is a little bit what you're saying, Naomi. They both agree that even you can't bring an ama by an ama, like a corner from another beged that has tzitzit on it, and sew it on to here. Vishavin, however, they do both agree, shemevi tchelet mimakom acher, you could bring strings from some other, that were somewhere else, on another pair of tzitzit, vitoleba. Okay, so if you had tzitzit on another beged, you could take them off, like Naomi said almost, right? You could take the tzitzit off and put them on this beged, and there's a big machloket here between, I believe, Rashi and maybe the Ravid, I forget, but who says, Rashi says, you have to restrand them. Okay, he says, "V'tolaba tzarich lachzor lekorcha ulitachna kan kebatchila." In other words, you untie the strings, put them on here, retie them. But I believe if it's the Ravid or somebody else says, or maybe the Rashi, I forget, that you can take them already tied and attach them to how you exactly do that. I'm not exactly sure, but you can do that. Okay,
you can't sew
because you can't sew in your shalosh. Anyway, according to him, you can take them already tied, because it's actually a really big debate. Is the mitzvah the tying of it, or is the mitzvah stranding the strings on? So if you just have to put the strings on, that's already, right, that's not a problem then. So there's a big debate, which is very interesting. Ubevan shalotei mufsekit. As long as they're not, okay, again, there's a bit of a debate how to understand this, but let's go with Rashi, that they have to be shalem. As we talked about before, that you could have strands, just like a little bit left. But here they're saying not if you're taking it from one beged, milachatchila, you have to put them on whole. If they rip later and get torn, then it's okay. Shmat me now. What can you learn from here? Now we're going to get to a different issue. Mitirim mi beged le beged. I don't know if you remember this, but we learned this a very long time ago. You're allowed to take, there's a machloket about this, are you allowed to take strings from one tzitzit and put them on another? Because you're basically removing the mitzvah off one and putting it on another. Is it called bizayon mitzvah? to kind of take it off, because once you take it off, there's that moment before you re-put them on the other baguette where you've removed it from being part of a mitzvah, and that's disrespectful. So according to this, it sounds like we hold you can be mitirim mi baguette le baguette. As long as you're putting it onto another baguette, that's not moridim b'kedusha, because you're putting it straight onto another baguette. It's true for a few seconds. It's in between, you know, for a few minutes, but it's obviously it's on its way to a new mitzvah. That's okay. So now they say, now maybe, Dilma, maybe that's not what we can infer from here. Maybe you could just say, in this case, di'i b'lai, only if the first baguette was no longer good. If it wore out, right, b'lai is when things wear away, in the case where the baguette's worn out, then you could take the tzitzit to move them. But if the baguette was perfectly fine, then you're not allowed to take the tzitzit from there and put them onto another baguette. Tanu Rabbanan. Talit shekula tchelet. If you have a baguette that's all tchelet, so now you need, in a white baguette, what did we say? Two white strands and two tchelet strings. But if it's kula tchelet, then you need two tchelet and two of something else. So what's the something else going to be? Kol minei tzivonim potrimba. Any other color, chutz mi kala ilan. Except for this kala ilan color that we're worried people are going to confuse with the tchelet. We're going to see exactly what the issue is too. Metive, but wait a minute, there's a source that says, Talit ein poter ba elamina. Talit needs to have its own type on it, meaning if it's white, it's white. If it's tchelet, it's tchelet. So what do you do then with a talit shekula tchelet? Where, you know, so maybe tchelet v'davar acher. Okay, so that's what we just said. You have to bring tchelet and something else. V'tole ba. V'kala ilan lo yavi, like we saw. But here it says, v'imevi kasher. And what did he say before? It's pasul if you put kala ilan. So on one hand, right, obviously everyone agrees you shouldn't put kala ilan milachatchila, but b'di'eved, the question is, seems to be a disagreement, is it kasher, is it pasul? So these two brides contradict each other. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak lo kashya, kam b'talit bat arba'a chutin, kam b'talit bat shmone chutin. One is in a talit with arba, and one is a talit with shmona. What's the concern? The shmona chutin, that's the case we saw in the beginning of the daf, where you added an extra four. If you add an extra four, right, you're going to have eight. And then, what are we concerned about? That maybe you'll take some of the strings from there and put them on a new baguette, because to say, oh, there's extras, we can move them, because we talked about that you can move them. Then what's going to happen? You're going to end up, people might take the kala ilan thinking it's tchelet because it looks the same and put them in another baguette and you're thinking it's tchelet. And then you'll end up with a problem. That's why they say you can't do it, right? It's pasul. But if it's just arba'a, then it's okay. Shmat me now. What can you infer from here? Matirin lebeget lebeget. Ah, it sounds like since we're worried you're going to take these strings and put them on another one, it sounds like you can take from one to the other. So again, they say dilma i'avid. Maybe it's only if you did it. In other words, we're worried that maybe you will do it, even though you're not really allowed to do it. But that's the concern. Itmar. Now we're going to see a machloket about this issue. Rav amar ein matirin mi beged lebeged, uShmuel amar matirin mi beged lebeged. Okay, there's a machloket. Are we? Can we or can't we? Rav amar ema l'kim miner l'ner. Okay, they have another few machlokot here. Rav says you can't light from one Chanukah candle to another. Ushmuel amar madlikim miner l'ner. Okay, you're allowed to. By the way, this is interesting. We pass in like Shmuel, that you're allowed to light from one to the other. However, the Ramah says that we should be machmir and not, and that's why we're very machmir on Nero Chanukah. But mikar adim, we pass in like Shmuel, that you can be madlik miner l'ner. It's the same issue, because you're taking away oil from the mitzvah to light another candle. Okay? Rav amar ein halacha ke Rabbi Shimon b'greira. Okay, Rav says the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon b'greira, which we're going to see in 1 minute what that is. Ushmuel amar halacha ke Rabbi Shimon b'greira. We're talking about basically three machlokot between Rav and Shmuel about three different issues: material in the bag of the baged, maligim minyer liner, and greira. Amar Abaye, kol mili de amar mar avi ke Rav. Everything Mar said, Mar is always a reference to his stepfather, which is Rabbi Bar Nachmani. Not stepfather, his adoptive father. His father, he was adopted. Levar mehan etzlat. And I don't know, adopted. There was no term of adopted in those days, but no, he took care of him because his parents died. Other than these three, to Abi Kishmuel, and which were the three, and this is why these three are put together, even though two have to do with each other, and the third one has nothing to do with them. Mitirim mi beged lebeged, umalikim minyer lener, falachak Rabbi Shimon begreira. Okay, he held like him in these three things. Ditanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, gorer adam mitak yisei besafsal, uvivad shalayit kaven la'asot harit. It's one of the most famous machlokot in Masechet Shabbat. You're allowed to drag a bed, a chair, or a bench on the ground, even though, right, as long as you're not mitkaven to dig a ditch, even if it digs a ditch, that's called davar she'eino mitkaven. You're not mitkaven to do it, and therefore, it's allowed, you're allowed to do it. Okay? Tov, we'll end with this last thing. Rabbi Yehuda Maser Le Lakatzra, just because I think this is like a funny way to end, it's a funny thing. He would give his, in the context of this issue, at least that's how Rashi explains it, I think there might be some other explanations, but in the context of this issue of worrying about the Kali Ilan, you're allowed to give your tzitzit to a launderer, not having to worry that he's going to swap your tchelet and put in this Kali Ilan, okay? Maybe there's some other issue with the Katsura, which we're going to see in a minute. That's why I'm surprised Rashi explains this way, because the other ones, but maybe because he's connecting with the previous sugya. And then, once we're on that, Rav Chanina Avad Le Sisa, and Ravina Chayat Le Mechat. When they would do, this is all okay for all women, this is good, right? Generally, the women do the laundry. Not always, but how do you launder tzitzit without ruining the chutim? So they each would, right? One would do, made a seat, right? What would he do? He would tuck the, what?
Roll it.
Right. He would roll it into a ball, okay? When he would go to wash them, he would roll it into a ball so that the strings were inside and wouldn't get ruined. And Ravina would sew a little hem inside, so like a little pouch, so they could put the tzitzit, okay? These are good tips for people who wash tzitzit. Put the tzitzit in there so that they don't get ruined. Okay.